Hello, everybody. Good afternoon, and welcome to my podcast, In Pursuit of Purpose. We talk about transforming trauma, igniting your purpose, and rewriting your story. And we do that one episode at a time. I'm glad you've chosen to join us today for this journey. So now that we are a couple of weeks into the new year, how is everybody feeling? How are you holding up? Feel free to, drop me a comment or let me know where you're listening from and how things are going for you guys. I am from the Midwest, if I haven't ever said that before, a smallish town, my hometown actually, in the heart of Western Iowa. And we're kind of coming off the effects of snowstorm number two within 1 week. I've never seen weather like this in probably the 13 years I've been working at my job. And this last one brought us about 8 to 10 inches of snow and near blizzard-like conditions. And I think we ended up having like a half a day and then two full snow days in the middle of that same week, which has never happened before. We also had 45 below wind chills for a few days and days on end of freezing fog and drizzle this week. And it's just been fun times. Actually, today is not so bad. It's cold, but we seem to be done with winter for the next week or so, and the weatherman is even teasing some 50-degree temperatures next week, so I'm looking forward to that. I will definitely take that. So, I wrote the notes to this podcast and what I was going to talk to you guys about when we were on Christmas break, I believe. And I had every intention of putting out another episode, I think last week. Well, our snowstorms kind of put a delay in that too because everybody was home and I just didn't get to it. But I had no idea when I wrote that stuff how drastically my own life would change in just a matter of days. So I feel like I can't just jump into the topic I was going to talk to you about without filling you in on a few things that have recently happened to us. So about 2 weeks ago or so, I lost one of my best friends from high school. His name was Mikey. And he had a heart of gold. He was just one of those people that touched your heart from the moment you met him. I can't remember a time when we weren't friends. I met him and then we were instantly best friends. There was a group of four of us, Shannon, Mikey, Ray, and I, that were inseparable for a long time. And he was one of the funniest people that I know. Always sending other people funny little clips and music videos and things just to inspire and uplift people. And he just made every day better when you knew him. I love to make music with him and just basically being in his presence and soaking up his creative, artistic, full of life energy just made everything better. And just to have known him and loved him was an incredible honor. So I just wanted to give a shout out to Mikey and say thank you for all the memories that we have. You will be missed, but you will never be forgotten. And then moving on to last week, reeling from that loss still and not really being able to wrap my head around it. I guess it kind of drives home the point that life really is too short because we were both the same age, you know. It's hard enough to see your parents' friends dying when they are the ages they are, but when it's our friends, my friend Tammy passed away several years ago from colon cancer and she got the diagnosis. She told her doctor, I am planning a trip with my husband and my kids that I've planned forever. Is it okay if I go ahead and go on the trip? And he said, absolutely. Go on your trip this weekend, come home, and we'll put a plan together and we will fight this. And she got back from her trip on Saturday, and by Saturday night at the emergency room, she lost her battle with stage 4 cancer. They had no idea. They hadn't done any of the testing other than they knew it was cancer, but they didn't know how aggressive it was and how much it had spread. So she didn't have a chance to even deal with the fact that she had cancer and her family, you know, immediately felt that loss and didn't have a chance to even, set up the process of grieving and be able to accept it before she was gone. So anyway, moving on to last week then, and like I said, still kind of reeling from that news and I guess I'm still in shock that he's gone and that I don't get to talk to him anymore. And, you know, we talked about it a lot over the last week, over the last weekend, and I have a dog named Frank that when our dog Bella had puppies, we kept Hank and Frank because they were just inseparable. They were the best of friends. They were the funniest, goofiest, most loving little boys, and I fell in love with Frankie. My husband fell in love with Hank, and we just couldn't separate them. And I couldn't let him go. I knew that forever, how long we had them, they would be ours. They needed to stay with us. I couldn't give them away to another home. And I absolutely fell in love. And for those of you that know me, we lost our big dog, Kane, several years ago, and I swore I would never love another dog this way again because it just hurts too much when you lose him. So I did. Frankie came into our life, and I absolutely fell in love with him. He made everything better, and I think that was his point. That was his purpose, if you will, to make our lives better for as long as we had him. So last Saturday, he started acting kind of strange and just not eating very much, just kind of moping around. And then he felt better, and then he ate, and then he went outside and played. He came home came inside and had a little bit of a seizure and just wasn't himself, but we really didn't know what was going on or how to help him. He didn't seem to be in pain or any distress. And then when we woke up Sunday morning, he was gone. So I just wanted to thank him also for just being here. Like I said, I don't think I realized everything that we've been going through in our life for the last 6 months or so. I don't think I realized what a strength he was to me. How much his love and his goofy little spirit that always made me feel better. This dog was as tall as I was, probably closer to 100 pounds. And so our other dogs, you know, when dogs come and jump up on you, you don't really want them to. And we taught them to stay down. Hank especially will give you a little thump, and he weighs a little bit too much to be knocking you over when you walk through the door. So we've taught them to stay down. But with Frank, there was something beyond that command of sit or stay or get down. He would not listen to that part of it when you got home. He was up in my arms with his arms wrapped around me with his head on my chest every single day. And if we were home in the evenings or the weekends, he would just stop in the middle of what he was doing every so often and just come over and climb up on my lap and make sure that he knew that I loved him or that he loved me. And I'm so glad that we had that time together, and we will miss him like crazy. I just, on top of everything else, I'm not sure really how to process all of this too. And as I alluded to in a couple past episodes, we haven't really talked about it much, and I don't really want to talk about it much because it's still kind of in limbo. It's still very fresh, but we received some devastating news back in October about some things that had happened to one of our girls when she was younger. And that admission to us, even though she's dealt with it for years, was brand new to us. It's still very, very fresh and raw. But it immediately changed our family dynamic and everything we knew to be true forever. We're still trying to wrap our heads around all of these changes, and I'm still grieving that loss too. I still grieve it every single day in one way or another, but I've tried my best to hold on. And honestly, the stress of the last 5 months has even begun to take a toll on our marriage. And that's hard for me to admit because I never thought that anything could ever be that heartbreaking or difficult to process, that it would come between us after almost 25 years. But it's more about what it's done, what this stress has done to each of us individually. And you tend to shut down. You tend to pull away, and then it can't help but affect you as a couple either. So we're working through things and all of these changes day by day. But like I said, with the dark, gloomy weather shadowing my already sad and grieving state, I'm not afraid to admit that it's been really rough. And that's one of the things I promised in the last podcast that I talked to you guys about. I'm not going to hold myself back this year and hide myself away from you. So my very first thought is obviously, I'm not going to get on and do a podcast right now when all this is going on. But I feel like by showing my scars, like I've said it before in past episodes, maybe I can help you heal by you just knowing that I'm here, that I'm human, that I struggle too. But we can all find a way out of the darkness. And I think it takes a village to do that sometimes. So don't be afraid to reach out and ask for help. So as let's get back to the wintertime discussion too. It doesn't help me with everything going on that it's this time of year. I think I'd be able to handle things a little bit better if it was spring or summer or fall. And as many of you probably already know from listening to past episodes, I am not a huge fan of winter anymore. I'm already over it, and honestly, I'm just trying to hold on and not let this black hole I fall into this time of year overwhelm me so much. And last year was the first year I think that it was pretty brutal. It was the first year I kind of realized or finally admitted that I think I do suffer from seasonally affected disorder. And that type of depression is related to more change in seasons, namely winter for me, and begins and ends about the same time every year. January and February are the roughest for me, and by the topping that off with everything I mentioned earlier, sorry, my phone rang in the middle of all that, so I had to silence it. We're just doing our best to survive. And honestly, I didn't used to be that way. I used to love playing outside in the snow as a kid. I know you guys can remember those memories too. We used to build snowmen and play in the snow and make snow forts and igloos and all that, go sledding, all that kind of stuff. And I remember watching as each snowflake would magically dance with the wind and slowly cascade to the ground. I was just mesmerized as a kid at how each individual flake was so different and unique. The next one was never identical to the ones before. So a lot like we as human beings, if you really stop to think about it, we're all just dancing with the wind. We're trying to keep up with the next storm on the horizon, the next loss, the next bout of grief, and slowly free falling into the unknown and never quite knowing where we'll land next. But I keep reminding myself it's only 67 days till spring. So I think I can make it, and I know that you can too. Spring is always a way for me to renew myself, and I'm looking forward to the chance to start over and let some of this grief and sadness and loss go. So while we're huddled up inside and wishing the season away, especially when we were on Christmas break and then on the two snow days that we had, a little voice whispered my name and reminded me that I have already fallen short on one of my biggest goals this year, and that was to stop wishing my life away. Wishing the weather wasn't so horrible and freezing and snowing every other day. Wishing there was more sunshine and warmth and that I lived anywhere else on earth but here. Wishing I was further along in the book I'm writing. Wishing I had more time to write the books I long to write. Wishing I had time to learn how to play guitar and write music that my soul desperately longs to do. Wishing I was skinnier, healthier, more motivated to do this or that, or to do anything at all sometimes at this point, I guess. But I often find myself making excuses and playing the if this, then that game. Have you ever heard of it? It's when you tell yourself that if this happens or when this happens, then that can finally happen too. One common example that I think about and that we can all relate to, I think, is if I made more money, then I'd finally be happy. And I can relate to that one on a deep level myself. I feel like at the end of each year, as I'm looking back over our finances, I'm disappointed that we didn't end up where we wanted us to be by now. And then as I'm looking ahead at the upcoming year, I just pray we'll get more debt paid off and money saved than we've ever done in the past, and that next year at the same time, maybe we'll be in a whole different place than we are right now. But then I remind myself that if that is going to happen, we have to take some steps that we aren't always comfortable or popular with others in order to get there. You can't just wish for something to be without putting the work in to get there. And sometimes that's a hard pill to swallow for many of us. I'm an author, for crying out loud, so in my head, it would just be easier to write myself out of debt in the next chapter by winning the lottery or retiring early or living out my best life beside my hubby as we travel the world and live like nomads on the run. But that is very rarely how life turns out, especially without putting in work to get there. And I've learned more so recently that if you want your dreams to come true, you have to work damn hard to make them come true. And that's despite the chaos and the grief and the pain and the trauma and all of the things that you have to deal with in a normal life circumstance. Life is not perfect. We just have to figure out a way to get around it to still make our dreams come true. And as painful as it is to admit, and I've heard Mel Robbins and other people say this, and it sounds really harsh, but nobody's going to come do the work for you. Nobody is coming to save you. Nobody's waiting around the next corner to magically make all your wishes come true. You have to put in the hard work it takes to get where you want to be. And this year, I've promised myself that things will be different. And like I said, with all of this stuff going on in January, I seriously last week was ready to throw up my hands and say, why bother? This is like the third week in January, and our life has gone to hell in the last, you know, several months, but especially even the last 2 weeks. So where do I even begin then? The beginning of a new year always makes me consider the ways I need to change and to think about what comes next. To embrace where I want to go with my life and what I want to keep and what I want to let go of to make space for the new. So a few months ago, as I was brainstorming project ideas and contemplating topics I wanted to share with you guys, I couldn't get my mind off the words A to Z. And I would seriously wake up in the middle of the night with the words A to Z ringing in my head. And I'm like, what does this mean? I have no idea what it means, but I just couldn't let it go. And as an author, if you're an author too, you understand that when things like this happen, they often don't just disappear and they keep happening. So this is when I listen and I take note. Even if I don't know what it means at the moment, I write it down, I pull up Google Docs, open my notes on my phone, and I save it until the answers become clear later on down the road. So a couple of weeks ago, when we were off for a long break, my hubby and I were at our desks and planning to write, and though I was planning on working on a different novel that has to do with a man who was falsely accused of being in prison for a crime he didn't commit, that still small voice kept interrupting, and it was back, and it was like, you know, look at this word A to Z again. I just could not stop thinking about it. So this time I immediately opened up a Google Doc, a blank Google Doc, and I labeled it, I am A to Z. I sat with those thoughts for a minute, ruminating on what I was supposed to write. And before long, I just started writing. And I'd written a poem detailing the layers of trauma that I've survived. So within three lines, I penned my healing. The first line is who I was as a child, who I was and who I swore I'd always be. The second line were the remnants of abuse and neglect and unspeakable things that no one should ever have to endure. That is the space I was stuck in for years and unable to understand how to grow or stand or move at times. And some days this is the space, especially with everything going on lately, that I unfortunately remain. But that third line, those are the truths that I'm speaking into existence. Those are the attributes of my healing and the woman I am becoming today against all odds. So this week, I wanted to talk to you about those three words that I wrote, and I wanted to begin with the letter A. So within those lines, I wrote the words adventure, alone, and absolution. And kind of week by week, as these things come up, I want to share that entire list from A to Z in a memoir that I'm currently putting together if I ever get enough nerve to officially start it. I guess I'm incredibly afraid of admitting my vulnerability, of facing the shame and the guilt and reckoning with the parts of my past that I've tried to, once again, just wish away, hoping they'll disappear, that I'll somehow become the woman I want to be without them. But for now, this year especially, I am working on being in the moment and figuring things out as I go. So this is the first official podcast of the new year that I'm starting with the letter A, and I'm rewriting a new story of my life one chapter at a time. So let's talk about that first word that I wrote, adventure. And that word, as I mentioned earlier, was that first line. The first line that was meant to remind me of who I was as a child, who I was and who I always swore I'd be. So when I was little, I was full of adventure. I was the little girl in pigtails who talked way too much, who desperately loved to go on magical walks in the woods behind my grandparents' house. I would take my grandma's hand and we would play make-believe as we collected leaves that we would press together between two pages of a book to keep forever, pretending like we were in another land altogether and dreaming with my eyes wide open, with zero fear of anything that lay ahead. I lived in the moment without a care in the world, and those are some of my favorite memories. My grandma was like both of my grandmas were the safest people on earth to me, and in those moments, I was happy. I was me. I was free. So when we'd arrive home after another adventure of adventuring in the woods, we'd often curl up on the screened-in porch in the house that my grandpa built with a good book. And she always encouraged me to do the same. I treasure those memories with her, and I hold them close now that they're both gone. But from a very young age, I know that this is where my love of books and the imaginary worlds that lie within them was born. My grandma would also get out her typewriter and a bunch of paper and just say, just type something, practice, and write. Surely you can come up with something. And I think that's even where my love of writing came from. I would read these books and I'm like, you know how cool that would be? There was just something magical about sitting behind one of the old-fashioned typewriters and typing out whatever it was, even if you were just, practicing your typing skills. But I think even back then, from, 5, 6 years old, 7 years old, I was imagining being an author. So now let's flash forward a few years and talk about my second word that starts with A in my poem. And remember I said earlier that the second word connected with the remnants of abuse, neglect, and unspeakable things that no one should ever have to endure. That's the space that I was stuck in and sometimes still am. But my second word within that space that keeps me stuck and afraid to live my life out loud is the word alone. How many of you have felt alone, whether in the past or maybe you're feeling that way right now? See, there was this pivotal moment in my life where suddenly my world shattered and my perfectly planned 5-year-old life didn't exist anymore. And in that moment, in hindsight, it's where I first began to feel alone. And I wanted to read a passage from chapter 1 of my book that I wrote, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Wrote the Book. And it's from chapter 1 called How to Find Your Voice Through Writing. I think it'll help you relate better to how my adventurous little spirit was eventually jaded and I began to lose who I was meant to become. And I'd like to read that for you now. So if there was anything these last few years have shown us, it's that we haven't always become who we thought we'd once be. At least that's true for me. As a little girl, I dreamed of a fairy tale life one day. You know, the one where the girl gets the guy and they fall in love at first sight. The one where he never ever leaves. I'd live in a cabin by the lake or maybe a farm with a bunch of kids. The house didn't matter as much as the home we'd build. But my happily ever after, I never once doubted it would come true. But that's not always the way life goes, and twists and turns are everywhere, it seems. Ones that redirect make us stop and reflect, and ones that bring us to our weakened knees. I spent my whole life searching for who I was since I came up short every time. I listened to others as they led me astray and told me who I was supposed to be. And then I lost my own voice. I learned quickly that that fairy tale I once dreamt of seemed less realistic and more likely some sort of a facade. See, in a world of pretty princesses, I never quite fit in. So I wondered and I wandered as I daydreamed, and then I gave up and wished upon stars. I learned to feel broken and battered and unworthy. I felt like I was never enough. And then when I woke up and I spoke up, my voice shaking in fear, I was told, sit down, be quiet. There's no place at the table for you here. So I shrunk back, I withdrew, I cowered in my own skin. I silenced my speaking, my truth, my voice, only to find that in the darkness, that's where my strength would begin. I hope that if you guys are interested in learning more about me or in how to write your book or things I wish I knew before I wrote the book, you'll pick up a copy on Amazon and kind of dive a little bit deeper into each of those chapters as you rewrite your own story too. So as you can see from what I wrote, and I wrote about my past as a little girl and letting go of the person that I once thought I would become, I've done this my whole life. I've wished things away until they were better somehow. I've tried to become something without putting in the work and waiting for this new me to somehow magically appear. And as it turns out, I'm not really becoming anything by hiding those pieces. I'm just scared to take the fall and face things head on. I know many of you can relate to this same feeling, and I know that you too are afraid of the shame, afraid to admit the things that we were told never to talk about or let come to light. But in the process of doing as you're told, and maybe absorbing years of generational trauma that no one else knew how to break, our own voices were silenced and we've forgotten who we even are. When we were on Christmas break, my hubby and I did a little project that after I listened to an episode on Mel Robbins called How to Make 2024 the Best Year Ever, 6 Questions to Ask Yourself, it really spoke to me and it really kind of changed my perspective on a whole lot of things. If you want to listen to that podcast, go back and listen to it. I believe she recorded that sometime, maybe about the third week in December, but she included a companion workbook, which we filled out in great detail, and it brought clarity and insight that empowered me to take the next step forward in my life and become everything I've ever wanted to be. It was in that thought-provoking exercise that I realized that there's an underlying theme to my unhappiness, to my loneliness, to my doubt and my fear and my stagnancy and getting stuck where I am. It's because I felt lost. I felt alone. And to be completely honest with you guys, I do not recognize the woman I see staring back at me in the mirror anymore. But I want to. I want to learn to know her again. I need to get to know her again. I just don't know where to begin. So, like I said, against all else, this year my goal is to find her again, to find myself, to know thyself, as they say, to fall in love with that little girl I let go of and left behind so very many years ago. See, I've kind of got just used to being okay and settling for waiting on someday before I figure all this out. Someday, maybe when the kids are out of the house, maybe I'll have time to do the things I want to do. Maybe that is when I'll find myself again. But here's the thing, guys, I am that age now, far past it actually, and my kids are out of the house for the most part anyway. We have one that moved out and moved back in, and that's not what I'm focused on right now. They're pretty much for the most part all adults and on their own. So when my kids all left home, I didn't suddenly find the me again that had been missing and hiding in a closet somewhere or magically discovering that she's been there all along. I honestly feel like I have even less of a clue now who I'm meant to be than I ever did when they were home, and I have never felt more alone. I find myself drowning in self-doubt again and facing uncharted territory where I didn't know what my purpose was anymore. And, you know, I feel like I'm someone more than just his wife or their mom. And I thought, surely my world will collapse if I am selfish enough to put myself first. But this year, fear be damned, and my wish from my mouth to God's ears, I will find my path to becoming me again. I'd like to do it a little bit differently this time, though. I'm not waiting or wishing for the fear to go away. And that's what I've been doing lately is, as bad as all of this hurts, as bad as all of this trauma and grief and just this horrible things that I feel like are never ending lately in our life, I am facing that fear. And I'm admitting, my husband and I had about a 4-hour discussion the other night on our marriage and just everything that we each are feeling. And I think before that moment, as hard as it was to admit, we've been terrified to admit the truth and how we're each feeling and how it is actually eating away at us and impacting us. It's just, it's really hard to admit that you don't know where to go and that you feel lost and alone. And believe me, I know how much he loves me, and I know, and I hope that he knows how much I love him too. But like I said, we've been so focused on just fighting off the demons and fighting off all this stuff happening that we kind of lost each other in the process, and we're just both doing our best to survive. So I would seriously, seriously love to just turn the page and leave the past behind. And I want to unbecome everything I was never meant to be in the first place. I'd love to be the one to help you and show you the way out of your own pain too. I am here, and I hope that you don't think less of me because I am being vulnerable and I am admitting my hurt, because it's easier sometimes for me to give you the answers and to help you and to guide you, because that's where my heart and my passion and my purpose lie. It's always, always harder to help yourself. So let me share another excerpt from my book, Things I Wish I Knew Before I Wrote the Book, that I hope will motivate you to follow your heart. And maybe to listen to the call you feel right now to move, to grow, and to change. Despite the fear, despite the hurt, I just want to motivate you and let you know that if you take that first step, that's the first step to change. It doesn't matter how small the step is or how much it hurts or how much you're hurting. Don't stop and wait for that hurt to go away, because that may never ever happen. We have to take the first step forward and make those changes today. So let me read this excerpt for you now. It says, "See, I was waiting to become the person I always imagined I could be, the one who had life all figured out somehow. I realize now that to share my true authentic self, faults, traumas, scars, all of that, I needed to stop hiding behind a mask of feigned perfection and meet you right where you are. And it became crystal clear that I was right where I was meant to be. And I am the person now that is best equipped to help the person I used to be and the person you are today. Every single path along my journey to healing from my own trauma has led me to where I am meant to be. It is no mistake that you've picked up my book or that you've been on this podcast and you've decided to ask for help writing your story too. I'm learning to trust the knowing even when it doesn't make sense. If there's anything else this world has taught me lately, it's that life is too damn short to waste another minute living in the shadow of someone else's dream. So be still. Pray. Listen to your gut. You only get one shot in this life, and it's time to take that chance on yourself right now, because tomorrow just might be too late." I'd like to conclude today's podcast by sharing with you my third word in the poem that I wrote from A to Z. Those, if you remember from what I said earlier, are the truths that I'm speaking into existence. No matter how I feel about the past, the future, or the present and what we're going through today, these are the attributes of my healing and the woman I am becoming today. This word, the culmination of the hard work I'm about to put in to find myself again, is the word absolution. This is one of the words I could not get out of my mind, and I knew that it had to be included in my poem, but I honestly didn't remember what it really meant. After looking it up in the dictionary, I found that the definition of absolution is the formal release of guilt, obligation, or punishment. And man, did that one ever fit and hit home. I feel like for a very long time, I've lived my life in a tailspin of guilt, feeling sorry for things I hadn't done, regretting things we hadn't done, or things I have done, paying extra dues because somehow the things that have happened to me had to have been in some way my fault, right? I think I felt obliged my whole life to make everybody else feel safe and comfortable so I didn't ruffle any feathers, be the good little girl, do as you're told, so that no one gets hurt, and other lies I've told myself. That would be a good book title, wouldn't it? The tragedy of remaining the peacekeeper and silencing my own voice is that I lost myself in the process of making sure that others didn't suffer, even if they were the ones to blame. And I think I've punished myself for far too long, and I'm done covering up for other people's mistakes. This will be the year that I work on forgiving myself for walking away from that sweet little girl and leaving her alone to fight those demons that came after her as she spent years feeling lost and abandoned and alone on her own in my own skin. My inner child, that little five-year-old girl that had dreams and adventure and hope, she didn't deserve the things that were done to her. But she most certainly did not deserve to feel alone, or that it was somehow her fault and that she had to fix the ones who were broken, despite the fact that she didn't know how the hell to even begin to fix herself. So the other focus is then there's the working on forgiving others who have wronged us. That's another episode entirely in and of itself. I'll save for a later date. But just know that I understand that this part is not easy, that we're all just doing the best we can every day to survive. But I don't want to make this, even with all of this, these other things going on, I don't want to make this about just surviving this year. That was my goal. I want to work on thriving. I want to work on myself. Let's crawl out of that shell of protection, that dark, scary cave that we've been hibernating ourselves away from within. Let's dust ourselves off. Let's stand up and let's open the curtains and start to let some light in. And I will be right here with you each week, working on myself too. But I promise you, through it all, you'll never have to walk alone on this path. And I will be always honest with you in the way I'm feeling. You are the greatest project you'll ever work on. So let's start by turning this first page and validating our own worth. As I said in my last podcast, as I grow into the woman I've kept hidden away, it's time for her to rise up. And now it's time for her to find that little girl she once was and ask her if she wants to come out and play. I'm done hiding. I'm done being quiet. And I swear to you that this is still going to be my year. So in this new year, 2024, a year I have rebranded and called the year that will be my catalyst to change, we are going to turn the pages of an ending that no longer serves us. And we will rewrite a new beginning as we rise from the ashes and find peace and joy and hope in this journey once again. I hope you'll join me in this new year for a brand new season with new content, motivation, inspiration, and special guests who inspire and motivate me to thrive, not just merely survive anymore. And I will continue each and every week to encourage you, my listeners, to embrace your personal journey. And I want to highlight this podcast's role in helping you unlock your purpose and embark on a transformative writing journey through episodes centered on self-discovery, rewriting old narratives, and healing from past trauma, one impactful episode at a time. Most of all, I want to offer you hope, even when I can't find it myself at times. I hope you know that you are loved and you are worthy and you are enough no matter where you are in your healing journey. And even if you feel broken and lost and alone, I'm right here. Together we can and will heal as we learn to let the past go and we welcome in this new chapter, turning pages of transformation, healing, and change. I cannot wait to see where this road takes us as we embrace this new year and make it everything we need it to be. So thank you for being here and thank you for making a difference in my life. Thank you for listening today. I wouldn't be here where I am without you today. Hang in there and know that you are loved from here to the universe and back. Until next time, I am unconditionally yours. All my love, Sadie.